I
think you should just talk about Strong Guy for 20 seconds.
I actually tried to write...
Dear friend Guido.
Hey, Merc, what's your favorite thing about Strong Guy?
I tried to write a song about secret identities.
You'll never guess my secret identity.
Yeah.
Is you can...
You'll never guess my secret identity.
No.
It's Jerry O'Connell. I lost my comb in the movie Stand By Me. And then I slid from world to world.
Rebecca Romaine.
Did he? I'm pretty sure. Did he marry Rebecca Romaine?
He did.
Did he?
He did.
John Stamos did.
Yeah. And then Jerry O'Connell came along.
Oh, yeah.
He slid right in.
Are
there.
They still together? I couldn't tell you.
We are living in a very strange world. Also, time moves backwards, and there's a Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's more of a world now.
All right, cue the music.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Zero Issues Comic Podcast. I am Merc.
I'm Bri.
I remain Kyle.
And?
I'm Ryan.
Ryan, once again, Mr. Ryan Mackett, T-Bay Movie Guy, is joining us once again.
He tried to sneak out, but we tempted him back with something you'll hear later.
It's called cocaine.
Yeah.
I'm
excited. Not for that.
Excited for
I just
cocaine.
Can't hide it.
Yeah, let's just skip all this hullabaloo and go to the news.
Current Zero News Flash.
Hey, welcome to the news. What's going on, news?
I'll start. Just really, there's two just little quick blurb things. Cloak and Dagger, the TV series, which I am totally blanking on who is carrying that.
It's
one of those weird...
It's ABC,
no.
Disney, Zego.
I'm
pretty sure it's Zego.
Everywhere you watch, Freeform.
That's what it is. They are on Freeform.
Freeform, that's what I said.
Yeah, they've released...
It's all jazz, baby.
It has no linear narrative. You just gotta follow along, baby.
You gotta listen to the supervillains? Yeah. They're not punching.
So, yeah, they released the first little clip bit from that where Cloak and Dagger meet.
Yeah.
And did anybody see that?
I did. I did.
I will have by the time.
Candy stole his wallet!
At least in the comics, they were both runaways, were they not?
Yeah. Well, they were sort of experimented on by a certain organization. They were kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So, how they play it out in a TV show, I don't know, but it looks quite interesting.
That captured my interest for
sure. The two of them meet at a party. It's a big group thing, like an outdoor party, and they accidentally bump into each other. They talk a little bit. She walks away, and then he meets the person he was supposed to meet and goes to buy a beer and realizes his wallet is gone. And he's like, looks around, realizes it was this girl that bumped into him. And
hey, blonde girl!
And then when they catch each other, they touch, they knock each other down, and then we see... like a light flash.
Yeah.
So obviously at this point she already has dagger powers, like the light powers. Mm. Whether he has dark force thing going on at this point, I don't know. But
where is it? Looks pretty interesting. Do you know where like it's set, at least in the beginning part?
Because
wasn't it kind of like a graveyard they were in at the end? It looked like New Orleans. Which
so it was like a monster mash?
It's a bit of a graveyard smash.
Could have been werewolf bar mitzvah.
Werewolf bar mitzvah. Spook.
I'm ashamed to say my only experience with Cloak and Dagger is in the Maximum Carnage Super Nintendo game.
Oh, yeah.
Show up and help you. And
right.
Randomly,
it's a pretty good time.
Captain America would show up and throw his shield and zip away.
But, something to look forward. Also, with another movie TV thing that was kind of revealed was Brie Larson's Captain Marvel costume.
Yeah.
The first look of what she'll actually look like. And I make a point of trying not to look at the reactions of things. I just look at it, and I liked it. And it wasn't until I mentioned it earlier, and Ryan, you said something about people were kind of reacting to it, and I had no clue.
People were angry.
People are always
green, and how dare she have a green costume, because it's supposed to be blue and red and yellow. But then Bri pointed out that...
the Kree, original Kree outfit for Mar-Vell, and also, like, the Kree sort of soldiery dudes, that's one of my blind spots. I don't know that much about that element.
You're absolutely correct.
They wore, like, white and green, or I think in, like, Ultimate versions it was more, like, grayish and kind of, like, spacey-looking and like, green, tealish. So, like, that kind of a combination, like a black and green or black and teal or gray and teal would line up with a Kree outfit, which obviously is where Captain Marvel comes from.
That's exactly where the origins are. And how, we don't know how... at all how they're working this in.
No.
And if you're going to be mad that things aren't accurate to comics, you're getting mad at the wrong thing, because this is making it more accurate to comics, and it's not like they're going to spend 20 minutes of the movie talking about binary.
Other uncomfortable storylines.
Cool. I like the part where Rogue flies in and she's in a coma for 40 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
The less Marcus, the better. But otherwise, design-wise, it's pretty bang on. The McKelvey design just, Captain Marvel costume. It has extra details and whatnot, because it's a movie, that's what they do. But
you can only draw so much, and then you can knit and patch
the gist of it, like the symbol and the overall design is it.
I thought it looked great.
The idea that they would, like, emulate that costume so perfectly and then, like, just mess it up with the colors, like, there's more to this than you guys. Come on, use your heads.
And let's also not forget that it was a leaked set photo that was taken under not ideal lighting conditions, probably on a smartphone. Like, you know, colors are sometimes adjusted in post. Well, not, they're always adjusted in post. So when you've got a costume... like, in real life, looks very different than what it's going to look like on the final film. Yeah. So,
honestly, my first thought looking at that, like, oh, those parts are green. Well, they're going to color correct that, and it's going to have, like, some sort of energy effect on it.
Yeah. No, very possibly.
Yeah, like, no idea.
People had already, like, color corrected, like, photoshopped it to be the proper colors and look good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to be in the movie. Just, everything's fine.
And we also
just
don't
shut the f up and watch the movie.
Are we reading into this too much too? Like, oh, the Kree colors, this and that. It also could be as simple as, like, they're trying to do some weird post CG effect and they need a green screen type thing.
Yeah.
Maybe the green on the costume is something to do with green screen effects, or who knows?
Yeah. But and then there's also, like, with in Marvel with the Kree has been used heavily in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
But has not really been used in the movies yet.
This might be first.
This might, like, there's been all this talk about the crossover, and it happens. We've talked about this tons of times, of how it's the movie, it's heavy down from movie to TV show, but it doesn't go the other way. You don't see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. affecting the movies. It's always just them reacting to what the movies do. Who knows? This could be not affecting it, but it could be, okay, we're finally sharing and crossing over that a little bit.
I'll tell you, I'm pretty excited for a blue Jude Law. another piece of news. Merc, we have spared you Dragon Ball talk.
Oh, that was my one piece of news!
Oh, was it? I can save that then.
No, let's use it. Let's talk about it now.
Okay.
Bad news, Merc.
Dragon Ball Super is ending ? In March.
Okay, I'm gonna go get more beer.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
So, with episode...
We listen to your crap.
So, yeah, Dragon Ball Super is apparently ending in March. Fuji TV, which is the network that airs it in Japan, that airs it originally, and Toei, have both put out statements or had interviews. Fuji TV, there was an interview with something called Rocket News 24. Fuji TV said, "Yes, the series presently on air will end here for now." Nakazawa asked, "Really? So it's not just changing with another time slot?" Fuji TV responded, "At present, it is ending. Beyond that is still undecided."
I think if they, like, if they want to bring it back in 5 years, that's fine. I think this is an excellent place to end the series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, have you, you haven't been keeping up week to week.
No, I'm,
You're watching the dub?
Kind of watching the dub, which is a year and a half behind, so.
I've been watching the new episode every Saturday.
And yeah.
Yeah, 2 months from now is probably the perfect time to end it.
Okay. This specific,
they've done a couple arcs, and it's...
I keep up with sort of what's happening. I know this is a very extended, like, they've built up to this in the whole series, kind of.
Yeah.
Toei, and as well, worth mentioning, Toei Animation tweeted out, "Thank you for your love and support for Dragon Ball Super. The Universe Survival Saga will reach its conclusion at the end of March, but the 20th Dragon Ball feature film is currently in production. The series continues its English dub run on Toonami. Dragon Ball lives on." Worth noting, though, not to get one's hopes up, but none of these are saying it's, canceled.
Yeah.
These are both saying, like, the TV station says, ending for now. Super said, basically, this arc is reaching its conclusion, none of which say the show is done.
Yeah, but I'd be happy if it went away.
Okay.
After this, because, let me tell you, right now they are in this big tournament thing, and it says they've been counting down how much time is left until the thing is over.
Oh, they're doing a Frieza, aren't they?
It's been...
Frieza arc?
There are, what, about 9-10 episodes left still? There are 6 minutes left in the tournament.
Oh my god.
So every episode is basically a minute. I don't think these guys are even doing anything.
No, they're not. They're not. But anyway, part of the speculation is there's a show, Kotaro, which is like it's 50th anniversary of the anime in Japan. And it's taking Super's time slot.
Right.
The thing is that show has pretty much traditionally always had that time slot. And also, like, Toei Animation is very pressed the schedule is rough, especially for Super.
Yeah.
They're pretty much working at maximum capacity, and they have this movie coming out for December. So there is speculation it might really, like, they might just be diverting, like, the staff for the movie, and, like, the time slot is sort of taken for reasons, and maybe it'll come back or a new show will come out after the fact, but anyway.
You know what? We will find out in a couple months.
We will indeed.
I have just a quick question of clarification.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are talking about the cartoon series that's sort of a spin-off of that M. Night Shyamalan film, right?
Oh, absolutely we are.
Right.
Okay. Wait, what?
Dragon Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't M. Night Shyamalan make that?
Oh, movie? No, that was Last Airbender.
Oh, Avatar!
Oh, you're talking about the very classic, the classic Dragon Ball Evolution
film. Oh, that one! I'm sorry, I confused the franchise.
Oh, the classic film, yes, which this long-running TV show is a spin-off of Dragon Ball Evolution.
Right, yeah, that's the one.
That excellent film starring Justin Chatwin.
What have you done? How could you?
Well, we lost Kyle.
I'm sorry.
Kyle left.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Hey, welcome to the warm-up. Oh, hello there. Hey, welcome to the warm-up. Today, I invented this game whole cloth. I certainly didn't steal it from something else.
There's no chance.
Today, we are playing 6 Degrees of Batman.
Okay.
So,
it's
completely different from any other 6 Degrees of Separation thing featuring...
Brand new. All
featuring
Kyle.
Other famous actors who just love to show their dick in movies.
Willem Dafoe? 6 Degrees of Willem
Dafoe. You know,
Dafoe.
I left him off the list.
I think it's 6 feet
off
of
the
Willem
list
Dafoe,
of this because
isn't
we've
it?
Been leaning mm-hmm. really hard on the Willem Dafoe.
You gotta take a break from the Dafoe. Yeah, it'll tear you in half.
He's like any other horror movie monster. You don't want to see him too much or it really ruins the effect.
Yeah.
I want you guys to try to connect these guys back to Batman with in as few steps as possible.
Okay.
Right. So, six or less. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Starting with an easy one, let's start with Wolverine.
And this is like actual factual or just can be any, you can...
Go nuts.
Anything at all?
The two of them made love sometime.
That's true.
Prove it. Dark Claw.
Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale were both in
Thank you. This is why we have a movie guy here.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Actual
Christopher Nolan. Like, factual. That's pretty, yeah, that's like, that's two. That's like the lowest.
I'm coming from a different direction. Yeah. Like,
if you want to go strictly comics, Wolverine defeated Lobo in battle in Marvel vs. DC. And Lobo mixed up with Superman sometimes. Superman the Justice League to Batman. You could cut two of those out, if anything, that's, really. That's,
yeah.
All right.
I still think they made love.
Oh, they did. Oh, behind that bar? Oh, they did.
Yeah, in Madripoor.
My name's Patch.
Okay, how about He-Man?
Oh, He-Man, Wolverine. He-Man to Wolverine.
He-Man to Batman.
He-Man to Batman.
He-Man fought Superman in that one comic that I have.
That exists.
Superman is best friends.
Superman fought Batman.
Superman also fought Batman in that one movie. They're also best friends, and so...
And they also made love.
They
behind a bar.
It's
complicated.
And Wolverine watched and cried.
Yeah. He watched from the bushes.
Yeah.
All right. Next up...
Somebody got that. Good.
Yeah, I did. Right. I wish I didn't, but I did.
Yeah.
Next up is John Turturro.
John Turturro?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, sweet. John Turturro was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Uh-huh.
With George Clooney.
Who was Batman?
Oh, my God!
That's brilliant.
Yep. There's one! That was it!
Hi-yo!
Who knew? Right.
And they made love.
That's true.
Behind the bar.
Behind a bar.
Yeah.
Where is this bar?
In Madripoor.
Both of them, obviously.
Okay, the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, there's gotta be a cartoon.
A Super Globetrotters.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's gotta be a cartoon connection because there was the cartoon Globetrotters.
Yeah, it might have been
like a Filmation.
Harlem Globetrotters appeared in Futurama. John DiMaggio played Bender in Futurama. John DiMaggio also played the Joker, I believe, in Under the Red Hood, the direct-to-video. And guess what? Batman was there.
Holy crap!
Also, it was just like parody Harlem Globetrotters, but whatever.
Nicely done.
Still counts.
But look in your heart and ask yourself, are you funky enough to be a Globetrotter? Are you? Yes! Are you? I mean, with time, my funk level could... Are you? No.
Okay, I've got two more. The Whizzer.
Oh, man.
Golden Age Speedster, The Whizzer.
From Marvel. Oh, yeah. Marvel Comics of that.
And have you worked any of these out, or you just pick names?
I just pick names.
Okay. So there could be absolutely no...
Okay, Whizzer thought he was the birth father of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
I got it.
Oh.
The Whizzer appeared in Spider-Man the Animated Series, as there was a whole arc with Captain America.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill.
And
I'm doing the Joker connection again. Mark Hamill played Hobgoblin in Spider-Man the Animated Series, also played the Joker in Batman the Animated Series. You got Batman!
Okay, alright, I got one more. Mark Hamill, no Joker.
Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, he played the Trickster.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I also would have accepted Swamp Thing.
There you go.
Yeah, there's that one little cartoon where the Trickster and Joker kidnap Mark Hamill. And then he's saved by Swamp Thing. And it's just every voice is Mark Hamill.
That's amazing.
I've Mark never Hamill, seen that. Mark
Hamill, like, tricks them by... He's caught in the backseat and he starts impersonating the two of them. And they start arguing with each other. And it's like, I'm not just an actor.
What is
I'm
this also, cartoon? Is this?
Justice League Action.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
But he's like, he tricks them by using his slick voice actor skills.
Nice.
Oh, and they made love.
Oh, of course they were.
Yes, yes.
At least it wasn't Cockknocker.
Oh.
Oh. Well, I guess you could have gone that way.
Snoogans. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Chris Lamar.
Just a very solemn Snoogans.
What the f***?
Take off your glasses, gents. We're talking secret identities.
But I can't see without my glasses.
I literally can't. I don't
what
even
know. Guy who doesn't wear glasses?
Yeah.
Asshole.
Does that mean I don't get to say it? Just because I've never been to an eye doctor?
I can't see anybody if I take out my eyeballs.
Because there's characters who don't have secret identities.
There That's are true. Those. And then there are those, like, in making notes for this, I was like, there's those heroes and villains
who wear costumes that really, they have no mask. Mm-hmm. It's just a costume, yet they still have secret identities. And I'm like, how does that work? Or it's the stupid mask.
The domino?
The diamond, yeah, kind of like,
yeah.
I'm Green Arrow. I have a very distinct facial hair.
Definitely not
the best. The best part was when he had a secret identity, and his costume was literally a domino mask, but he had that very distinctive, like the goatee thing, like the beard.
The Shakespearean.
But he was also the mayor of a major American city with that same facial hair. It's like, nobody's going to figure this one out.
Everybody likes Green Arrow. What if I grow my facial hair like him?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, what if I've had it that way for a long time?
Yeah.
So there's a really fun new app called, Google Arts and Culture. Oh,
yeah.
And there's a selfie feature where you can take a selfie or take a picture of somebody, and it matches you with a percentage with a
is famous... Is that what that is? I've been seeing this like crazy.
A famous work of art.
Okay.
And I'm a little sketchy on the details. And it gives you a percentage.
And it's actually quite good.
It's really accurate and really amazing how similar they...
Mine wasn't great. I looked like Micro von Frankenstein, according to it.
Well, you kind of do.
I'm just kidding. He's a handsome fella. He's fine.
So anyways, the point is, I'm a little sketchy on the details, but a comic book artist guy took a picture of his Clark Kent that he drew. And it got matched 100% to a portrait of Superman that hangs in the Guggenheim.
Oh, really?
Just saying. The Clark Kent picture, he had his glasses, and it matched 100%
to
Superman. So,
well,
there's that.
So modern social media would have f***ed over Superman.
Superman and Clark Kent are the same person.
I don't know. He's such a mild-mannered reporter. I just can't see them having anything in common.
Those glasses.
Exactly. Yeah. Superman doesn't wear glasses.
That's right.
He's not flying into buildings. That's a hazard. Ugh.
My brother and I, when we were younger, we used to do that all the time. We both had glasses. Lois. And it was just... it would be in the middle of a conversation, somebody would go, "Gee, Lois," and they'd push up their glasses.
I found myself doing that push up in the middle, just naturally when my glasses lifted. I'm just like, "Am I Clark Kenting?"
Yeah,
I'm just like,
you
know what? I'm just gonna keep this. This is good. I like it.
Everyone kind of like makes fun of the fact that Superman wears this garish blue and red primary color outfit. Mm. Has anyone ever stopped to think that maybe he wears that outfit to distract from the face?
Well, that's a good point.
You know, like, you can't help but look at the blue and the red and the spandex and the muscles. And
the
tight
package.
That's why Power Girl has the big...
Yep.
That's right. Nobody ever...
No one looks at the face. Yeah.
So, just a thought.
There are a few reasons.
Superman has a cutout, right here.
It's like a little heart shape.
It's a little snail... The snail trail.
Yeah, you can see a little bit of neck.
I like a few details that they've done in certain comics. All-Star Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like a big kind of burly guy, but he slouches as Clark Kent, and he looks kind of doughy.
Yep.
Yeah.
The thing is, so he has the same body mass, but just the way he carries himself as Clark Kent, he looks like...
He becomes Clayface, and he can readjust where it sits.
He shifts his organs.
Yeah.
All of them?
Frank Quitely really thought up the design work on that, and it was, really effective, actually. They had those panels where, he was, knocking someone's... he'd just be clumsy but in being clumsy, he'd be, knocking somebody out of the path of danger as Clark Kent, even, and stuff. But just, him and his, the way he walks and stuff like that, being, he's, acting all the time.
Yeah.
Even subtle things, in Superman Birthright, Superman's eyes are, just... bright, an unnaturally, an alien bright blue, but he has these glasses on that sort of makes them look kind of more like a gray blue ish thing. So you look at Superman in the eyes and it's those eyes like one of a kind. You look at Clark, he's wearing the glasses, you don't see that. So the most distinctive feature of his face you don't see in Clark, which is again, it's always going to be a reach, but little details like that sort of sell it.
There is a fantastic scene, very quick, in Superman 2, I think it is, where you get to see on screen Christopher Reeve do the transformation, where he goes from bumbling Clark Kent, takes the glasses off, and just the way he stands and corrects his posture, you can literally see on screen Christopher Reeve transformed from Clark Kent to Superman.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, mind-blowingly well done. I mean, it's still... He obviously looks the same, but...
Yeah.
That argument, like, with the Frank Quietly, like, the whole body language, the way you carry yourself, posture, mm-hmm. it's not completely unbelievable when you factor in the glasses thing, the eye thing, the blue outfit with the red cape and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's ways. I mean, it's suspension of disbelief.
It's always suspension of disbelief, but that scene right there was, yeah, like, that's masterful. Like, just, like, you don't even notice it until you see him do that, and you're like, ooh. Like, it totally sells the distinctive thing between the two, for sure.
Let me just say that every Secret Identity is the same if John Byrne draws it.
Fair, fair.
Yeah.
No, every dude has the same face.
I got the bottom lip. I'm Wonder Man. No, I'm Superman. No, I'm the Vision. I'm everybody.
At some point, there's going to be like a mega cut of every complaint that this has been done over this podcast. There's going to be a few times.
This is an ongoing thing. I actually love John Byrne's stuff.
Yeah, but me too.
He draws every man the same, and he draws every woman the same.
As every man.
So it's just the costume that differentiates.
Yeah, itself. Really, the face is almost exactly the same.
I have a couple of questions while we're on the topic, if it's okay.
We're on the topic.
No,
we're on the topic. So often the reasoning for people keeping their secret identity secret, in Spider-Man in particular, he would, you know, say he's like keeping his loved ones safe.
Yep.
Are you asking what if no one loves them?
I was going to go there.
Which really should... people should be sick of Peter's shit. So the idea, like, does keeping a secret identity on a couple of levels, one on the part of their loved ones, because they keep their secret identity a secret from them. So, like, you know, Aunt May usually doesn't know that Peter is Spider-Man. You know, his
would
friends...
Would it be better if the loved ones actually knew?
And we've seen this come up, because, like, you look at countless stories. You look at, like, the first Spider-Man movie where, like, the minute, you know, Norman Osborn found out that he's Spider-Man, he goes after the girl he loves. So, are you really... That aspect of it, are you really keeping your loved ones safe by not telling them who you are? Or are you just putting them at risk because they don't know what to expect? Because if somebody finds out who you are, they don't know anything about any of this shit. They can't be prepared for anything happening to them. They can't have a contingency plan. They're just going to be blindsided by all of it.
Yeah.
Like, poor Gwen Stacy.
I mean, part of it is that being a superhero is a little bit selfish.
Yeah.
Like, just because of the fact that you are putting your loved ones at risk, and because of the whole secret identity thing, unless you make the choice to tell them, and even if you tell them, that's stressful, too. It's like, hey... the Rhino might show up sometime, so have Rhino spray,
I guess. Like, a wall right in front of the front door that's like, if this guy shows up, keep the door closed. It's like a picture of the Rhino, Vulture, Beetle, everybody.
But if Sandman shows up, I mean, he's gonna slip under
the axe. It just says, you're fucked underneath
I put some double-sided tape down. That'll slow him down for like 12 seconds. That's
about it. Here's a bucket of water. Toss it at him.
If it's Hydro Man, here's a bucket of sand.
Mix them up.
And if they're together, make them hug.
There were a couple of stories, or again, where you had like the Gwen Stacy example, but there were a couple of stories where after like Mary Jane and Aunt May knew that, separate stories, mind you, but it's the same
thing.
Basic idea in every way, but the same villain who went after them, but they both knew who he was. The Chameleon impersonated Peter and
went after... Chameleon impersonated Mary Jane.
Yeah, yeah, but like Chameleon went after Mary Jane, pretending to be Peter, and she's just like, you know, at this point they're married and she knows everything, and she's just like, immediately it's just like, yeah, you're not acting like Peter, so you're not him, so she just knocked him unconscious with a baseball bat.
Nice.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah. And another one where later on he tried to do the same thing to Aunt May, and Aunt May knew and was just like, this guy's acting off. And I think asked him a question that she knew the answer to and was like making him wheat cakes, and he got the wrong answer and then poisoned the wheat cakes.
Aunt May is a badass.
Poison wheat cakes.
So Aunt May and Mary Jane are badasses, and the Chameleon sucks.
Aunt May keeps poison in the house.
Apparently.
Here's a question. Who was the first not to have a secret identity? of the early ones, of the early heroes to actually have their identity be an open thing.
Was it Iron Man?
That didn't happen actually until like the 90s.
Okay.
Or even the 2000s.
It happened. I think it happened in the 70s.
But it was but one then of those ones one that of got those exposed kids, and then he like no, yeah, it's yeah. not oh, me it's at funny. All. He brushes it the rug.
I'm curious if it's the Fantastic Four.
Good point, yeah.
Because they were celebrities.
They're kind of a different
because it took a different
never
sort of
had
yeah.
a secret
direction where it was like, we're this family.
Which is interesting because they were like the original architect kind of the Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. And there was no secret identity, which is...
Yeah.
And that one, I think like
they
Marvel...
took it to Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange.
That's just
literally Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he came after the support. Okay. But you're right.
He's
sort but
of a
at the
weird
same time,
special case because he doesn't really socialize.
He doesn't advertise. Right. I think really who he is. So if you go to Beaker Street, you see his house, but you don't see his house.
Right.
And there's a lot of that sort of stuff. So he's not. If you need his help, he can probably find
and
you.
If you go to Baker Street, he's still there.
Not to backtrack, but on the flip side, it's a pretty common question, but if a superhero, the whole idea that superheroes would, like, keep their identity secret to protect their loved ones, if they were public, the idea that, like, if villains knew their identity, they'd go after their loved ones, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which happens pretty frequently.
Yeah.
I think it might depend on your power scale a smidge. Because, for example, if everyone knew that Clark Kent was Superman... Are you really going to go after
Lois?
I was Lois?
Just thinking that.
Are you sure you want to get that guy mad?
Well, that's just it.
Well, like, you know that the Lex Luthors would.
Yeah.
It's a matter of ego.
If you're crazy enough to want to fight Superman in the first
place. Yeah, exactly.
That's a fair point.
You're already taking him on face front.
That is true.
That's a fair point.
True believer, you will go after the love.
I kind of feel like if someone were to find out that Bruce Wayne was Batman... Would they really want to go after Alfred? Knowing that...
No.
Like, that's... You know, that's...
You know, I like it in that part of the movie where that guy tries to blackmail and go and talks to Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you think by giving this information that a billionaire who, in his off time, beats up people as a vigilante. Dressed as a bat and you want to blackmail him. Good luck with that.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
Yeah. I'm like, nicely played. That's nice.
The look on that guy's face has to change.
It's so shit.
Yeah. He's like, this, you're right.
That kind of answers the question in a way because all of these superheroes have, like, you have the Avengers or you have the Justice League. You have, like, these are the most connected, powerful people you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. And very different personalities within those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Batman would just put you in a hole and leave you there.
So it's different if you're fighting like a street level hero.
Right.
Some, you know,
he'd make sweet love to you.
C-lister. Yeah. If you find out who Daredevil is, well, everybody already knows who Daredevil is.
Or if you find out who Elongated Man is.
Oh, Ralph Dibny, the Elongated Man?
Yes.
The guy who also doesn't wear a mask?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he can stretch his face.
Is his secret?
No,
it must be.
He's a public figure.
Is he? Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize.
Because he's a detective.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I didn't know if that was part of his thing. Like detective with powers, or okay.
Captain Atom, also public identity.
Okay, you know what?
Wally West, back in the day.
Really?
In the comics, yeah. Like he was.
When he was the Flash, or when he was Kid Flash?
When he was the Flash.
Huh.
He was just public. I don't know why he got outed at some point. He was just like, alright. And he would literally just be playing basketball in the park in his Flash costume with his mask down and stuff like that and just with folks.
Yeah, why not?
Cool, though. Why wouldn't you?
Literally, that's the guy who can be there.
There might be that.
Okay.
I don't know.
And you set off some sensor alarm approaching them. Yeah, he's there already. He's taking care of it. Or, like, even if he isn't, like, he could be, so maybe don't risk it.
I like the idea of superhero threats.
Yeah.
Angry, pissed off superhero. Huh. To go back with, you just said Captain Atom.
Yeah.
Captain Atom is a public...
Yeah. Captain Nathaniel Atom?
It's Alan Atom.
Is it?
Alan. That's what I never realized, but it's... Captain Alan, I'm pretty sure that that's at least the listing I saw.
The important
Alan
part is
Adam, A-D-A-M. And I was
the important
but you
part
just
is
named
it last
yourself
Adam.
Atom.
Right.
I'm like,
wait,
really?
Is his first name Alan?
That's...
I thought it was Nathaniel.
It could...
I thought it was at them.
How about when Hercules went out as Mr. Powers?
What?
No word.
Tell me more.
Went out with, I want to say it was Black Widow? And they were out and actually went like, this is 70s, so they were out discoing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Hercules has never hid his identity. Right. But for some reason, he's in like a 70s kind of get up, like the whole big collar suit deal.
Yeah.
And at one point, he even picks up a guitar and starts playing it for some reason. That was the picture that I saw. It was him playing a guitar in this, like,
just lovely
Saturday Night Fever get up. And
hello, anyway, here's Wonderwall.
It won't be written for at least 20 years, but enjoy this. But, and he's never hit his
enemy.
Your
kids are going to love this.
Yeah.
But, oh, dear word.
Black Widow, for some reason, told whoever was there that it, oh, this is Mr. Powers. This it's a spectacular name.
Wow.
Good job.
Mr. Hercules Powers.
And we've already mentioned, so we should probably go back to it, Wolverine and Patch.
Yeah, why?
That's the best one.
Okay, so Wolverine is Wolverine, Logan, whatever, unless you go to Madripoor, where I own a bar, and I dress in a white suit like I'm in Casablanca.
Also, eye patch.
And I have an eye patch.
Like, you're 5'2", you have that pointy black
you have
hair.
Very distinctive hair.
Are you
this
Beast?
Is a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Nobody's...
There's the, if you're not familiar with Madripoor, Madripoor is like this made up country wherever.
It's an island.
Is it an island?
I'm pretty sure, in my head, it's an island.
Yeah. So it's like,
I choose to believe.
But it's like an,
it's Crime Island.
Like an Indonesian.
Crime Island.
East Asian sort of island. And it's like basically Madripoor is where
Australia
all the crime syndicates run their stuff.
Okay.
And it's like everybody's there, everybody's on good behavior because everybody knows that everybody's crooked.
Okay.
So it was when the Wolverine solo series first started up as his first solo series. It was probably, like, I don't know, issue 5 or 10, somewhere in there, that it was introduced as. He had this alter ego called Patch, where he had an eye patch. And literally, it's that eye patch in a suit.
And the pencil mustache.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
He didn't, but he could have. I wanted to bring that back now,
and somebody's just, like, literally just, like, takes a picture on their phone. It's like, oh, that's Wolverine.
And they use that. Instantly. They use that app that you were talking about.
Yeah.
You look like Wolverine. What the?
No, I'm Patch. Bub.
I slouch. Wolverine has very good posture.
Yeah.
He's like 5'7".
That guy is crazy. My manners very mild.
Can I just wrap up that Batman was once Matches Malone?
Oh, yeah.
Of course he was Matches
Malone.
This whole
time I was thinking about the Matches Malone thing.
Were you?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
There's actually a couple of those. There's Batman was Matches Malone. Superman had amnesia at one point. He became Jim White.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Jim White.
Oh, for fuck.
he had amnesia and he wandered onto a farm and met this girl. And for some, I don't know the whole story. I only know just the summary. Somehow he made up the name Jim White.
So it's either that or Cat Lombard.
The Matches Malone thing was...
he was trying to, like,
Cat
infiltrate.
Grant and Steve Lombard.
Right, okay. But there was...
I like
no,
Superman.
There was one of the stories, and I can't remember which arc it was, but where one of the Robins stumbled onto this big protocol in the Bat computer and
the
was
Matches Malone protocol.
Yeah. And he was like, I'm going
to
do this.
And she didn't know who Matches Malone
That's
was.
That's right. And so Batman had to, like, save it. And it wasn't the Bruce Wayne fugitive. Bruce Wayne
no,
murderer.
It was...
Who's the one who found it?
It was the one... It was Stephanie. It was the Robin who was never Robin. No, we don't acknowledge her.
Right.
But like she...
War Games, maybe?
Maybe. I think it was War Games.
Yeah.
Initiated the
we don't talk
War,
about
games
War Games
protocol.
She's back now. Everything's fine.
Bad.
Yeah.
And then Batman had to go in as Matches Malone to save the day.
Right.
Oh, I do have to mention this.
Matches Malone would be a good Halloween costume.
Nobody would get it.
No.
Yeah.
But
you wear a Batman shirt underneath it.
just hastily shoved in. Just
hey, it matches Malone. Full Batman costume with like a brown toupee and a mustache over top of it. And just have a match in your mouth.
Yeah. That matches Malone.
I want them realizing just like, I think that's Batman.
Oh my god. It's like, also he kind of looks like Bruce Wayne. Worse, worse. Get out of here.
No eye contact.
Oh
run.
My god, we know too much. Run. Get out.
Also, he looks like Superman that one time.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened several times where Batman, or where Superman has had to impersonate Batman. You've never seen Batman impersonating Superman, because everyone would just be like, hey, that's Bruce Wayne. Hey, Bruce Wayne's dressed like Superman.
Where?
Now he's getting it.
I tried to find secret identities that are actual real famous people. Like, the names are the same as
people that actually exist. Like John Jones, the MMA fighter, who goes by Superman. Because,
what are you doing?
Well, I was thinking more, Banshee is Sean Cassidy, and there is a Sean Cassidy from the 70s.
Oh, from Partridge Family.
It's the brother of the Partridge Family guy.
Oh, I was joking.
The one that recently died. Thanks for the respect.
Danny Bonaducci?
Yes.
Oh, no, he'll bury us all.
Then there's Golden...
Wait, personally.
Golden Eagle, which I'd never heard of Golden Eagle.
Hmm.
It's a DC character. Oh. Who is a shitty Hawkman, if you can get shittier.
His backstory is very clear and easy to follow.
It's
that sucks.
It's actually funny because it was I was like, who is this guy? But his name is Charlie Parker. So there's Charlie Parker, the jazz guy. But Golden Eagle, I guess this was at some point in the 70s when... Hawkman decided to return to Thanagar, and that's not public knowledge, but this guy, Charlie Parker, is a huge Hawkman fan.
Hawk fan. There's gotta be one.
And so he makes a shitty Hawkman costume and starts battling crime. I don't remember who it was. One of his...
Cool, he's Thunderstrike.
Yeah, it's basically that sort of thing. One of Hawkman's villains has some sort of, like, power device that when he goes to sleep, it becomes more powerful. I don't understand it. It becomes a subconscious thing, and he's like, I need a villain or a superhero to fight, and I'm knowing that Hawkman is actually out of town, per se.
Yeah.
Powers up. This thing subconsciously powers up Golden Eagle to become kind of like a Hawkman. Oh. And so he just looks like a horrible Hawkman costume. But then some of the other Justice League start to investigate, and Batman Green Arrow starts to investigate.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on? Like, Hawkman's out of town, and yet there's like a Hawkman that's capturing all these people, and it just goes downhill from there.
Sounds like the worst story
it's
ever.
It's totally the worst story ever, guys.
That's really
And then there's, of course, Green Lantern, John Stewart.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
Now here it is, your moment of zen.
Moment of zero. Moment of zero.
Zero Issues proudly presents another dynamic, dramatic reading. This time, a tale from Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen number 30, as published by DC Comics in 1958. Written by Otto Binder and drawn by Kurt Swan. Kyle Lees plays Jimmy Olsen. Merc plays The Judge and additional voices. Brycotic plays The Narrator. And special guest star Ryan Mackett as Superman.
Relax, Jimmy. I'll do the dishes at super speed. What would you like to do tomorrow for your birthday?
Take me on a flying trip around the world, Dad. Gosh, it's great to have a super father like you.
What orphan boy wouldn't leap at the chance to be adopted by a super father? Like Superman! What thrills and proud moments would the foster father of steel bring to such a lucky youngster? Well, Jimmy Olsen may have a startling answer for you about life with Superman. But you will never guess the outcome of what should be a super happy family relationship when the Cub Reporter becomes the son of Superman!
There's a father-son picnic. A lot of people gathered around. Jimmy Olsen is sort of slouched up against a tree looking surly for Jimmy.
Boy employees of the Daily Planet, one day joy... Oh, it's apparently a strictly a Daily Planet one. I didn't quite get that. Boy employees of the Daily Planet one day joyfully attend a picnic sponsored by their newspaper. Except for one red-headed lad.
In which a little boy on the side says,
"Didn't you bring your dad, Jimmy Olsen?"
I can't. I'm an orphan. I have no father.
But a voice contradicts the cup reporter!
"Yes, you have, Jimmy. For years, you've been almost like a son to me. Why not let me be your official foster father?"
Holy cow! You mean you'll adopt me, Superman?
So he passes him some adoption papers.
Oh, God. "Yes, Jimmy, I applied for court papers, making me your legal guardian for a 30-day trial period." Of course, you can
have a return policy.
"Of course, you can back out any time if I'm not a good father."
"That chance, you'll be the greatest. Gosh, it's like a dream come true. I was only your pal before, but now I can call you Dad."
"Right, son. Now, what's to stop you going to the father and son's picnic with me?"
And in the next few hours, Jimmy and his new foster father steal the show at the picnic. They're doing, like, the three-legged race. They're doing all sorts of stuff. Let's enjoy with them.
"Make super leaps, Dad. We'll win the three-legged race."
Oh, there's a strongman act with Superman where he's bending a steel girder over his neck.
"That's my dad."
Now they're playing baseball together.
"Attaboy, Dad. Another home run, even though you're only using a twig for a bat." That makes no
sense. Because that twig would break. How does that...
So they're...
Physics, Dad!
He transfers it. He's... I don't know.
Later on. "At the end of a happy day."
"We'll live together in this house I rented, Jimmy."
"We have one bedroom." Oh, God.
"Oh, boy. Our own home where I'll spend evenings with my super dad."
"I already brought all your things from your former places, including your collection of my trophies."
"Thanks, Dad. I'm the luckiest boy in the world. Whee!"
He broke into his house. It's
really weird.
I know. "Are you sure, Jimmy?" "Presently." So they're standing in front of a room labeled Secret Room.
And it looks like they're doing the Robin Oath.
Yeah, really.
Scene there.
"One thing, son, in that room are clues to my other identity, such as the clothes I wear. It's locked, and,
"I understand, Dad. I promise never to look in that room until the 30-day trial period is over."
That's...
A 30-day
trial. Yeah, that's quite a thing to leap to. The next day, Jimmy's big news surprises everyone at the office, except Clark Kent.
"Clark, someone adopted me, and you'll never guess who it is."
He's thinking.
"Jimmy would never guess that I'm Superman, his foster father. I'll pretend to be startled when he tells me."
For 30 days.
Yeah. One day, a great Phil awaits the son of Superman.
"As my son, you're entitled to see my fortress of solitude hidden away in the Arctic. The key is disguised as that airplane marker."
He's unlocking the steel door with the giant key. Gosh, I'm gonna visit Superman's private retreat where he keeps the things the rest of the world never sees.
His porn collection.
Oh, within lie incredible super things collected by the Man of Steel. Even more out of this world is a super mural painted by Superman himself, which is solar system created by Superman.
"Last year, my super telescope showed a distant sun blowing up, destroying its family of planets. The people escaped in spaceships, but had no home to return to. Speeding there, I gathered millions of meteors and fused them together, constructing artificial planets for these homeless people. Finally, finding a burned-out star, I rekindled it into a blazing new sun with an atomic match. After the people moved to the new worlds, they named various parts in my honor. Like Superman's sun, Superman's comet, Superman's planet, Superman's asteroid."
Superman's copy of Swank.
Superman's tax.
"Golly, wait till I tell my friends that my dad built a whole new solar system."
Presently, Superman lets Jimmy amuse himself.
Oh, I'm so sorry. "I want to check something in this room, Jimmy. Won't take long. Meanwhile, have some target practice with that special gun I made."
Wow, it shoots perfectly safe lightning bolts. Gosh, I'm the happiest boy in the world. When the 30-day trial period is over, the courts will make Superman my legal guardian for life. He's the most wonderful father anyone could have.
But a cloud passes over Jimmy's joy when Superman returns.
Terrible movie.
Hands off that gun, son. Don't you know better than to use my things without permission?
But, Dad, you did give me permission.
Don't contradict your father. As punishment, I forbid you ever to come here again.
Why did my dad turn so grumpy? I hope he regains his good humor again.
But at home, Superman is even more stern!
Jimmy, you're taking poor care of the trophies I gave you. It's disgraceful. Shine them up. Hear me?
Yes, Dad. Jeepers. I thought he'd never become strict like this.
The worst is yet to come, Jimmy. Soon, when Superman's telescopic vision spots an emergency...
A job for Superman! But I'm not taking you along, Jimmy. Stay and do the dishes.
When I was just his pal, he often took me along. Now that I'm his son, he ignores me.
And when Superman goes into action, his adopted son is not there to share his triumph.
Mists obscured this mountain. Stopping the plane would jolt the pilot too much, so...
Superman knocked the mountain peak off for me.
That seems like a way worse... Why?
And it landed on a village.
Yeah. In the following days, life with Superman proves more and more trying for Jimmy.
Superman's made very tight underwear for me.
I have to wear it on the outside.
This is so awkward.
When my dad does super feats, he gives the scoops to Clark Kent instead of me, his own son. Hi, Dad. Fly me home from work. I called you with my wristwatch Superman signal.
Take it off, Jimmy. I'm giving it to Lois Lane. You bother me too much with it.
Boy, being Superman's son sure is lonely. He's always out on some super job.
Each day grows more miserable for the boy who lives with Superman.
Jimmy, come here. This door is open. You picked the lock and snooped in there for my secret identity. Confess!
No, I didn't. I didn't go in, Ted. You must have left it open yourself.
A likely story, son. If I catch you in here again... It'll go hard with you.
He doesn't...
It's
a different time, isn't it? He doesn't trust me anymore. What can I do to prove I'm still a good son? Wait, that's it. Tomorrow's Father's Day. I'll take my savings out of the bank and get him a really nice gift.
Surely Superman's fatherly heart will melt at this token of affection from his adopted son. But on Father's Day...
I had the tailor make it that special robe just for you, Dad. Do you like it?
The emblem is crooked and the colors don't match my costume closely enough. I won't wear anything that poorly made.
Dad, stop! Don't use the heat of your X-ray vision. Oh, too late. My Father's Day gift. It's burning up.
At bedtime, Jimmy's happiness is completely shattered.
I don't want to be Jimmy Olsen anymore.
I don't know why, but it all turned out wrong. I guess there's only one thing to do. Go to court and call it off. I can't stand it anymore.
A sad court scene takes place the next day.
I don't have to wait for the trial period to be over, Your Honor. I know now that I would never be happy if Superman adopted me.
And the judge says,
Great Scott! How can any boy refuse to be Superman's son? What do you have to say, Superman?
Jimmy hears heartbreaking words.
If Jimmy wants to call it quits, that goes double for me.
Oh, that's harsh. So harsh.
Then I have no choice but to declare the trial adoption void as of June 16th. And there can be no second chance for you two. Case dismissed.
How is... That's not case dismissed. That's not how law works.
As the super miserable boy leaves...
Son dismissed.
Well, goodbye, Superman. I guess you'll never want to see me again.
Wrong, Jimmy. I still wish you were my son. I'll explain why I deliberately caused our breakup at the Fortress of Solitude.
Our breakup?
Shortly at the fortress.
While you used the lightning gun during our previous visit, I consulted my super calculator machine. It can evaluate complex data and predict calamities days or weeks in the future. It is never wrong. And my heart froze at the prophecy it gave forth from its speaking mechanism.
Holy calamity!
Somebody's gotta be a robot.
On June 17th, Superman will destroy his own son.
Great stars! That means Jimmy. I adopted him. But I won't be able to cause Jimmy's death if I have no son by June 17th. I've got to work fast. I kept the predictions to myself to avoid worrying you. Then I pretended to turn against you, making you back out of the adoption yourself. You're safe from harm now, Jimmy, not being Superman's son anymore.
F*** you! Wait.
No, wait, that's not what it's
like. Wait, Superman's son? Something just flashed in my mind. That's the thing that people say. The words son and son sound exactly alike when spoken aloud, like I'm doing now. I think the electronic oracle meant you would destroy this, Superman's son.
Great guns, of course. Then something must be wrong with that son I made. I'll go and see. Even at super speed, it'll take me a day to reach that distant galaxy. The date will be June 17th when I arrive. But why will I have to destroy that son I made?
Superman quickly sees why upon arrival.
It burned out into a dead star, barely visible. I'll smash it to bits so spaceships don't blunder into it.
Later, after scouring around for billions of miles.
Can I just point out that in this panel, he's just, like, pushing the sun. Like, it's like a solid thing.
It's super.
It's got an edge, and yeah, there's just some flames coming off it.
You can tell there's an edge because there's a thin black line.
Yeah.
I found this young, hot star. I'll push it in place of the dead sun, of my dead sun, to furnish light and heat for the Superman planet.
Back on Earth, after Superman moves Jimmy back to his former apartment.
I feel terrible, Jimmy. My misunderstanding of the prophecy broke up our father and son relationship. The court won't renew it.
Don't apologize, Superman. If you'll recall, you were always out nights doing your super job. Even if we lived together, we would see each other very little. But even if I'm not your son, I'm still your boy pal.
Nothing will ever change that, Jimmy.
The end!
So I'll just go back to being an orphan living by myself.
And as I get older, you'll still love me, right?
Oh, dear God.
He did. That, is that the first time that Jimmy, like, went to the Fortress of Solitude?
It must have been.
I guess so, yeah.
These events are canon.
Think of all the good times he's had there.
Yeah.
So he moves his son out of some other solar system.
Oh, yeah. He completely destroyed, like, another solar system. While there is no sun in that other, you know, with the Superman solar system,
yeah,
they're all dead.
I'm sure they're all fine for, like, a day without any central gravitational pull or heat or light. Everything's good.
I think it seems they had a final night of their own. That is it for another week, my friends.
All right, so who are we?
I'll go first. I'm Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. Updates Tuesdays. As well, I'm on social media under my name, BryKotyk.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut, like astronaut, on Instagram, Merc Asylum on Twitters.
I'm Kyle. You can check me out by looking up The Kyle Lees or going to thekylelees.com. I've got stuff to read, stuff to look at with your eyes, stuff to listen to, like this podcast.
Stuff to touch.
Stuff to touch with your body. Stuff that will
I have a tactile website.
Stuff that will touch your body. I'm talking t-shirts. I'm talking softball.
And thanks for having me along, guys. I'm Ryan, and you can find me on Facebook at TBayMovieGuy and on Instagram at RMCreations_.
Check out all of his stuff, because it's really freaking good.
Very, very cool.
Thanks so much, guys.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for being Superman. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
That was interesting.
We just get more belligerent the more
So by the third episode, you're just like, fuck,
we're just screaming.
Just like,
that's usually the episode where Brian and I fight.
Yeah.
Then we make a secondary episode where we talk in the kitchen and make up.
Yeah.
And then, but we can still record it on here. We've done that.
And the photo for that episode is just us in bed smoking.
This is better than my imagination. This is more than a dream come true. Without the slightest bit of hesitation, I knew what I was meant to do.